All right. This is, well, let me take attendance first. Officially, Steve Beauchesne.
Here.
Rick Deschenko. Rick Deschenko, are you here? Will Fountain?
Yes, I'm here.
Will Fountain? Cindy, Will, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Mike Johnson?
Here.
Bill Lombardo?
Here.
Bill McDowell? Bill McDowell?
Cheryl, you got to give me a minute to unmute the board. Before I can answer, I got to unmute them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Colleen, I'm sorry. I you want me to wait a minute? Oh, you have to unmute the board. Gotcha.
It's Nadia. Hi, Nadia. I'm good, thank you. Cheryl's running a board meeting right now on the associative teleconference, so she can't come to the phone for quite a while.
Cheryl, Bill McDowell, I'm here.
Okay, hang on just a bit.
Nadia says she's trying to use the link and she can't get on. She said she wanted her, you said you wanted
Hey, Jim Moffitt, could you do me a favor? Jim? Jim Moffitt?
Hello, Nadia.
Jim Moffitt?
Yes, I'm here.
No, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Nadia
yes.
can't get on, and she needs to get on for the rec report. If I get her, if Ray gets her number, I give it to you. Could you call her and see if you could walk her through it?
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt her, but
Nadia,
we need
give me your number. I'm going to have Jim
we'll
off
need
call
her
you,
here.
Okay? 860-990-7312. I'm going to read it back. 860-990-7312.
Okay.
Okay, I'm asking Jim to call you.
Jim, you
Bye-bye.
Ready for the number?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry for the technical glitch. These are
okay.
exceptions.
So I'm going to... All right.
Back to... Okay, so we have... The board, how about the officers? Brooke Stevens.
I'm here.
Jim just spoke to me. Al Capoza.
Here.
Ruth Ames.
Here.
And Jim Moffitt. Okay, this is the May 28th, 2020 regular meeting of the Board of Governors of Black Point Beach Club Association. It's being held by teleconference. It's being recorded live. Both the minutes and the recording of the meeting will be posted on the association website. That is www.blackpointbeachclub.com. The meeting, the call-in number, and the agenda have been posted on the association website and sent out via email to anyone whose email we have that are members. If you would like your email address added to the list, please send it to bog@blackpointbeachclub.com. Public comments will be heard at the beginning and end of this meeting. If you are an association member and would like to comment at the announced times, please dial *6 and wait to be recognized. Everyone will be recognized in order of calling in. When you are recognized, please give your name and address when you have the floor. If you are disconnected for some technological or human error, please call back the regular number, sign in again, and hit *6 again. This is a relatively new system for us all, and sometimes unpredictable things happen. Okay, so I am calling this meeting to order. I actually already have. I just want to take a moment to read some brief comments, partly to organize myself, partly to share some common thoughts with the community and share some information. Earlier today, someone said to me, Cheryl, keep in mind we are all cranky. So let's all keep in mind that we are all cranky, that there's a whole range of feelings about how things should happen, and let's try to communicate as courteously and sensitively as possible. Going back very briefly to the charter, one objective of the association is the health, comfort, and protection and convenience of the inhabitants. So the interpretation of health, comfort, and protection varies, and it's the board's responsibility to weigh the range of community feedback and, in terms of this pandemic, establish COVID-related protocols and recommendations that help people feel both safe and unencumbered by excessive constraints in the light of the coronavirus pandemic. A brief summary of recent updates. Since the state of Connecticut has far more resources than does Black Point, we rely on it for guidelines, given leeway for local modifications. The information I'm going to share right now is from reopenconnecticut.gov. That is reopen.ct.gov, G-O-V. That's the source resource for these updates. As of May 20th, we are now in the first phase of reopen, and we anticipate gradually decreasing the restrictions in phases 2 and 3. Phase 2 will begin on June 20th, and phase 3, a return to a modified normalcy, is anticipated in late July or early August. So keep those dates in mind, and it may make respecting temporary constrictions less onerous. Things are going to change, hopefully, unless we have another crisis in less than a month, and then they will change again. So whatever we determine or talk about or discuss today will be different in a couple of weeks. And then we will reassess what works best for our community. One other thing, and I think it will certainly help me chair the meetings more effectively. I know the community is impassioned, and everybody is concerned. When we are discussing complex and very gray areas, I would ask that we keep this discourse courteous and avoid inflammatory language. For example, the term police state has been used many times in the past few weeks. The definition of police state is a totalitarian government controlled by a police force that secretly supervises citizens' activities. I'm guessing when people use that term, that's not exactly what they mean. So let's please all try to be specific when we're discussing our concerns so that we can maintain reasonable discourse and goodwill. Because we're in the midst of a pandemic, I think the board needs to look closely at the question, how safe do people at Black Point feel? And that means safe in their health and safe in their liberties. That said, thank you for putting up with me. Let's move on to approval of the minutes. We had three special meetings. At special meetings, we cannot approve minutes. So can I have a motion to accept the minutes of May 7th?
So moved, Steve.
And please identify yourself each time you speak. Can I have a second?
Yeah, Bill McDowell, I'll second it.
Thank you. And rather than going through the list, does anyone disagree? Otherwise, I will assume it's unanimous. Okay, that motion has passed. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes of May 14th?
Will Fountain.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Steve.
Let's just get one name for Brooke, please.
Cheryl, this is Rick. Could I ask a question about the minutes?
You most certainly may, but yeah. Before we accept them, we need, if there's a question.
Yeah, the only thing I'm asking is on page 3, they said the passes would be made next week. Will we cover that later?
Yes, we will. The minutes report what we discussed, not what is true.
Okay.
So sometimes there are errors, and we can correct that at future meetings, but we wouldn't modify the minutes unless they got something wrong that happened at the meeting.
Okay.
Are you seconding it, Rick?
Sure.
Thank you. Does anyone object? Otherwise, I will count it as a unanimous vote. All right. Motion to accept the May 14th minutes has been passed. The May 21st meeting, may I have a motion to accept those minutes?
Phil Lombardo is removed.
Thank you, Will.
Mike Johnson, I'll second.
Thank you. Does anyone object? All right. The motion to accept the minutes of May 21st has been passed. Board members, for kind of generic votes, I'll continue doing this unless there's a lot of discussion. If it's all right, I'll just ask first for no's in the future to save time. Anybody object to that? Okay. Next item on the agenda, communications to board, emails sent to the board in the past months will be posted and available. All right. We are now ready to take public comments. Give me a minute to organize myself so I don't mess this up. If you would like to make a public comment, dial *6. I will take calls in the order in which they come. Identify yourself. Ah, thank you, Colleen. identify yourself and your address. You must be a member to make a public comment. They will be limited to 3 minutes. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot, so if you can be briefer than 3 minutes, that would be nice, too. Maybe not. Doesn't look like there are that many names here. All right. We're in question and answer. I am going to start with, still working on the, all right.
Hello?
Robin? Yeah, I wasn't sure if I had gotten you on. Is it Robin or Tom that's on now?
Hi, this is Robin Meggers, 15 Seaview, and the question I have is probably twofold. It relates to what we call the Seaview boat beat. Many members in the last few days have been approached by folks saying that beach will be closed. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
I don't mean anything by that, and I can't answer questions now, but in the context of the meeting, I certainly will, Robin.
Okay, so that's my first question, and the second question is the board fully aware of the federal law about beaches and the high tide watermark? I just want to make sure whatever decisions they're making, they are taking that into consideration. Much research was done about 30 years ago on that. Which you will find in the minutes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Wendy, oh my goodness. I know, I don't want to remove Robin from the meeting. I just got a little thing here. I obviously pressed the wrong button. I am sorry. I'm guessing. Okay. Wendy, in a minute, I think I am going to have you.
Yep, Wendy Bourget, 1 Osprey Road.
Okay.
I'd like to first, on behalf of the Cahill Black Point Scholarship, announce this year's scholarship winners. There are two, Natalie Joy Taylor and Jason Sinning. We do hope to share more information later in the season when there's more time at the meeting to give you a little bit of information about them and their essays. So then on a separate note, for me, I did send an email to Jim and copied the board, but I would like to ask the board to authorize Jim to put some kind of no parking, unloading, loading only painting on the area just leading into South Beach because that's where a lot of kids are walking, bikes are backing up, and it would be good to have a no parking sign on the actual asphalt at that point. So if you talk to Jim and give him authorization to do that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Jim, can we just remember when you're doing your association manager, bring that up. So you want a no parking on the Osprey right-of-way?
On the asphalt part, yes.
Yep. Okay, Jim, I'm going to ask you to just, I don't want to get too disorganized and forget something, so would you please bring that up when you do your manager's report? Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to try to close this without hanging up on you. Okay, let's see. Joan Hayes.
It's actually Mary Cahill on my phone that wants to speak.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay, Mary?
Mary?
Yes?
Tell us what you want to say.
Please speak loudly, Mary.
I'm done talking for the time being, so anytime that we can eat, I'll listen.
Gotta speak loudly.
I got to speak louder.
Please.
I don't like this at all. I'll have to tell you.
Me neither.
Okay. I want to speak on the virus that we're all going through and the recreation program. Now, all 9 beaches are having the same problems that Black Point is having in regards to the rules that we have to follow. Beaches are calling each other to find out what they were doing. And of course, the one that really has the most biggest, not problems, things that have to be done is Black Point, because we are the biggest beach. And also, we do have something that's the jewel of Black Point, and that's our recreation program. That, of course, is a big problem. Let me see there. Now, this recreation program, as you all know, has been going on for years, and it has always been a terrific asset to our children. Starting from Tom Haines and up, our children have always been safe, happy, and made friendships that have lasted for their lifetime. With this horrible virus, it's time for our board to take it over and decide the safe program for our children. Now, I do not believe myself that one person should be in charge of something. I think this is a whole board's decision, because this is a very, very important thing. Our children will have to be in one room. They don't understand 6 feet away. Now, should it be closed for this season? Should it be shortened to a smaller amount? It always used to be from the 4th of July to the first 2 weeks of August. Could it be the last 2 weeks of July to the first 2 weeks of August? By then, I hope that darn virus will be gone. Should it be only a swimming program with our 10 counselors training one child at a time, the hours scheduled by the rec director? We have children from 3 years and up. They don't understand about being 6 feet apart. It's not going to be an easy thing. Let me see. Our children have a great beach, And with roller skating and climbing trees, they will find a way to have all their fun. But if this thing does calm down, perhaps this thing can go on. But I believe the shorter end of this be the way to go. But the board has to make a decision to Black Pointers with our most prized possession, and that is our children. And let's see. If our children are safe and healthy, then this program is easily taken care of. That's the whole thing. I want to get through to you that our clubhouse, for them all to be in there together, and they're not going to be outside all the time, I don't think it's the way to go right now. Another month, things may change. You have to look into this. And I also would like to say to parents and grandparents, if you keep your ears and eyes open to listen what the board's decision will be, and if you have the slightest doubt, don't enroll your child. There'll always be another season. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Sue, Mary, hang on for a minute. I got to still figure this out. Okay. All right, Sue, I believe you are on. Oops, wait a minute.
All right, thank you.
Yes, gotcha. Okay. I think, yep, here you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Sue Murray, 39 Seabreeze. First of all, I want to thank Cheryl for her tremendous leadership in all this chaos. And also to thank the board members for all the time they've put into trying to make things safe for all Black Pointers. I was a high school teacher for 39 years and have always admired the work that our guards have done down on the beach, young people who have done the very best job they could under normal circumstances. I do feel, however, that these are not normal times, and I really petition the board to look into something beyond young people to be the guards on the beach, because I really sadly do anticipate that there will be situations that young people will not be prepared to guard us from. So that's basically my thought. Mary, thank you for all your thoughts regarding the club, because that was also a concern of mine. But I know thank you all for all your hard work and all the days going forward as well. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. I think I got you. Just a second. Dan, it's on you. Dan, you're on. Dan McMahon? Maybe not.
Hi, sorry.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
About the kayak rack at the backwaters. Last year, the mud was so prevalent, you had to walk through the ankle-deep mud. I'm curious how we're going to do it this year. When I look over there, it's constantly not just damp but wet over there. And I'd love if we could revisit the idea of a dock that I know was turned down several years ago because it was onerous, but we spent a ton of money on tennis and all of our other recreational activities. I'd like to see if we can focus on that now. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Okay. It looks like that is all the questions, comments from the community right now. I'll wait 15 seconds in case anybody else wants to say something, and then we'll go back to the general meeting. And any questions that were asked will either address in the context of the meeting or at the end of the meeting after the end of meeting comments. All right, I guess we will go back to... There we go. Thank you, Colleen. Okay. Next on the agenda are reports. Can we please start with Ruth Ames, tax collector?
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Let's see. We, on the real estate, there are still 4 outstanding accounts that have not been paid, and the total that is owed is $1,535.17. We collected $207,342 of the two. We were supposed to collect $208, well, we've collected $207, so pretty good on that one. The special assessment, we were supposed to collect $606,873. There remains $4,800 left to be collected, and that represents 6 accounts, and 2 of them are trying desperately to partially pay me, you know, on a fairly regular basis. And there remains 1 little account for $5.53 that he doesn't pay. And that's it.
Do you want to remind people about the process for paying taxes and the relationship between Black Point and East Lyme this year?
Okay. The town of East Lyme has passed, according to Governor Lamont's executive order, the fact that you will have to apply for a deferment of your interest on paying your tax, and it will be deferred until October 2nd. And what that means is that you will get a form from the town of East Lyme that you need to fill out telling them why it's difficult for you to pay the tax. Once you, and Black Point, in order for us to know what you're doing, there will be a form in your tax bill that said you are going to apply to the town of East Lyme. The town of East Lyme is the one that's going to put the okay on the fact that you get the deferment, not Black Point. Whatever the town of East Lyme says you're going to get, we have to abide by that. So you'll get a form, and if you're going to send the form in, which you're going to get with your tax bill from the town of East Lyme, then you send that back to me, to the tax collector, and I record it that, in fact, your interest will not be charged until October 3rd. You have until October 2nd to pay without any problems. I think that's about as clear as I can make it. Is that all right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. Al, could
you
have your report, please?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, thank you.
Very good. My report will be from the financial reporting distribution that I did to the Board of Governors here May the 23rd. I'd like to start by focusing on a column called Actual 2 May 26, 20, and just summarize the activity. First of all, our total income from July 1 through May 26 was $852,177, and the expenses to that date came out to be $840,597. So you subtract the expenses from your income, and you get a net income of $11,581. Mm-hmm. From there, I'd like to move over to the column that says estimate year-end 6/30. And there we will basically compare that numbers in that column with the budget, just to give you an idea of, you know, how we did overall. I'd like to start off with the income side, and basically we've got three categories, and all of them essentially will meet the, you know, the budgeted amounts for the year. So as of right now, we're looking at total income $858,325 compared to a budget of $855,400. From there, we go to the expense side, and I'll briefly mention each of the categories. The first one is contractual services. That had a budget of $47,600, and we're looking at about a 2.5% under budget performance there. And primarily, it looks like our insurance costs were the budget were slightly higher than what, you know, we ended up paying. On the operations side, bear with me here.
Take your time.
Operations, the budget $61,200, and we're estimating that that will essentially be on budget or lower. The next category is other expenses. That had the peer repair numbers in it, so I'm going to take that out and just report without the peer. That had a budget of about $47,000. Our actual is going to come into about $37,000, and the difference, about $10,000, is that we did not spend the entire budgeted amount for the capital expenditures for this year. The budget for the pier repair, including the amount that was going to be allocated out of our fund, was $696,800. And the total expenses through June 30th was $672,701. So from that standpoint, we had about a $24,000 less than the budget. And finally, the personal services category, that had a budget of $84,000, and that's going to be over slightly due to some extra funds that we're paying to our tax collector for the additional workload and managing the the special mill assessment for the peer repairs. Okay, if you take the total expenditures minus the income, you basically from what the report is showing, you come up with like a $44,000 loss. And unfortunately, the way the report shows, it does not reflect the $90,000 of the fund allocation that we'll put towards the peer repair. That's it for the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Al. Are there any questions about Al's report? Obviously, we'll be discussing more when we get to the budget, but in terms of what Al reported on right now, does anyone on the board have any questions for Al? All right. Jim, may I ask for your report, please? Salient features. Two things that need to be addressed.
Okay. Hi, Cheryl. This is Jim Moffitt.
Jim.
So I had sent out the association manager's report for May 2020 to all the board members. So I'm hoping you have received it, at least maybe take a look at it, but I'll just briefly go through the highlights. if okay.
Yep.
And I've been working with Jackson Bibber and his team to talk about opening up the beach, and I discovered that I needed a bracket for the swim raft, so we had to order that, even though we made a decision after to not use the swim raft. At least we got the equipment for that. Me and Mike had put on all new swim buoy decals on the swim buoys, and those will be going in the water on Monday and Tuesday, the new swim buoys. There'll be 10 of them in the water.
Jim, can we just clarify something for a sec?
Yes.
Just so people understand, what you're calling the swim buoys are not to keep swimmers in. They're really boat buoys so that boats cannot come closer to shore than that. I just didn't want people to get confused between,
right,
you know, the buoys that we have on the string that are optional in that area.
Yeah, those are the geese buoys.
Yeah, would be. So that I don't want people to think
those
big things as being swim buoys. They are boat,
yes,
boat buoys to make sure boats do not go into an area that is reserved for the safety of swimmers beyond the what you call geese line. Sorry to interrupt. Cool. Thank you.
That's okay. That's okay. I also want to point out down on that Old Black Point Road that Dan McMahon was talking about, I did work with the East Line Public Works, and they did do some repair works down close to the road, and they filled in some gravel, and we didn't put the kayak rack there. We moved them to two of them at Sea Spray, at the Sea Spray right away. So that also happened during May, and that's also part of my report. But we also basically opened up the beach. We were real busy this May. I periodically would pick up debris on the beach. We had our spring cleanup, which was a great success, and we got a lot of things done around the clubhouse and really made it look good. We also had some tree work done at the Whitecap parking lot and removed two trees and got that real cleaned up good. We've got a new handrail going in at Nahantic right away at the ramp down to the pier. So that was also taking place during May. That'll be completed tomorrow. They actually were finishing up working on it today. So that railing will be in by tomorrow. We also closed the playground down. I've put locks on the tennis courts. We have refurbished the clay tennis courts, but they are closed, but they have been refurbished and they're ready to go. So the clay, but they are locked. I've also put tape all around the playground and the basketball courts and removing the nets on the basketball courts. There really shouldn't be anybody up there. I haven't really noticed too many, but I got to check back on the tapes just to make sure. Wrapping things up here. A real couple highlights are that we got a brand new floor in the clubhouse. It's really beautiful, and ready. It's ready to go. So we also have all the materials to put the Gaga pit together. That's in the shed, so that'll be going in adjacent to the garage. One of the last few things I've done was I updated the fire extinguisher and batteries and the exit signs. I've worked with Mike Johnson again, and we repaved the temporary asphalt repairs that were needed at Whitecap. Getting the beach open and getting removing a lot of seaweed last weekend. It was really, really smelly, and that needed to be done, so I had that done. Again, we put in the boat docks. I would like to point out quickly that there was an abandoned car at the Seabreeze parking lot for a couple days and had no Black Point tags on it. It was a Black Point member pointed it out to me, and I was able to immediately text Sergeant Masek, who's my administrative contact with Eastline PD, and he runs our summer patrol program. So he was able to send an officer over to check on the tag and went immediately to the house, and the car was gone in an hour. So I just wanted to, make us aware of that, and that it's a great working relationship I have going with Eastline PD. So wrapping things up, I did work with Joe Bregargan, and they did get around to fixing and re-siding that pump house at the bottom of Brightwater by the right-of-way, so that is almost completed. I did, one of the last things that happened, I think this happened just the other day, is I met with Steve Bouchain. Maybe he can discuss it a little further, but we met with the town engineer, and we went down to the Whitecap right-of-way in the drainage pipe, and we had a lengthy discussion with them about the drainage pipe, and it was concluded that there wasn't any kind of a safety issue there, and that we would be best to probably just leave it alone. And the last thing I did was I brought the power washer in for a tune-up, and I just got it back. And
wow, thank you. That was a lot of work, Jim. Thank you for keeping on top of everything. A few people had mentioned to me, and we spoke about it, and Mike, this might be a nice time or an appropriate time to mention golf carts, because two people said to me they're very concerned, and I have seen the same thing with youngsters aging in range from what looked like 2 years old to what looked like 14-year-olds driving golf carts either independently, that was the 14-year-old, not the 3-year-old, or on their parents' laps. Could you comment on the what that entails, what the rules are for the laws, not the Black Point rules, but what the laws are for golf carts? I think that a lot of people just haven't used golf carts and are not aware of what it entails, what one needs to drive a golf cart illegally.
This is Jim. Did you ask me to comment, or Mike?
Yes, could you address it, please?
This is Jim. During our summer patrols, I meet with the Eastline police officer who's going to work that summer, who's going to work those hours, and we just kind of have a little check-in. He picks up the log, and I've had many discussions with him about the importance of inappropriate use on the golf carts, and they tell me that it's treated just like a motor vehicle, that it's subject to the rules of the road, in that if someone's underage, then they shouldn't be driving. They're breaking the law. And so he keeps an eye on that. I know they documented some cases that they pulled over black pointers, and they've issued, summonses for it. And I also think it's a good reason why we should have the summer patrol program, just because of what they can do, because they're really the only ones who can regulate those vehicles.
So basically, one needs a driver's license to drive a golf cart, and the golf cart needs to be registered, and having a child drive it is tantamount to driving without a license, and the adult is responsible in that case, that the owner of the golf cart is responsible if a child is driving it legally?
I think just like a motor vehicle. It's just okay. Like a car.
Okay. And let's throw in there as well, golf carts may not be driven after sunset. So if you need lights on your golf carts, it should not be driven. Jim, can I ask you about Wendy's question about the Osprey right-of-way sign?
It was agreed upon by the homeowner to replace the sign, and I got an estimate from Signcraft. I gave it to the homeowner, and Jim Ventris has been involved with it, and as far as I know, they're aware of it, and they'll be submitting it before he gives out their proper certificate of occupancy, I guess they're going to put the sign up.
Thank you.
February.
Can I take the liberty under association manager's business to address two of the questions that we had? And Jim, I will ask you to get involved in one of these. The first is Robin Megger's question about the Seaview boat launch beach. It is assigned by DEEP, not by Black Point, although in conjunction with Black Point, it is assigned to be a boat launch beach with no sunbathing, no sitting. You get on it, you get in your boat, you go out. The board is well aware of federal rules that below the median high tide line, there is no ownership of the beach. However, we are responsible, as is DEEP, for that boat, what was happening in the water. And talking about the continuum of freedoms versus safety, there have been several occasions that I have observed myself where there were children swimming or climbing on the boat launch, small craft coming into shore does not have the kind of control that perhaps a motorboat might have. So once you get close to shore, you're at the mercy of the waves. It puts children at high risk. It puts boaters at high risk for suits. If they hit a child or if they're carrying their boats onto the beach and cannot access enough beach to get their boat through. So having people sit on the beach where people have to bring their boats either to the shore from the right-of-way or to the racks is hazardous for people. It's just common sense. So no, that beach is open. It's posted that it's just for boat launches. It's that's the ruling of DEEP, and it's typical of any boat launch areas. And no, we're not closing it. If people choose to break the rules, that's this issue, you know, it's a matter of consideration and thoughtfulness for the safety of our children and swimmers and boaters. And in fact, anybody bathing or sitting there would need to be below the high tide line. And then it's a matter of good judgment and neighborliness when you have boats coming in and out. So no, that beach is not closed. Dan's question about the old Black Point launch, I was not on the board when that decision was made, but I do know that there were many, many complexities. So I was wondering, Jim and Dan, if you could work together and see what were the problems last time, and if we want to revisit it, if Dan, you have some new thoughts. I remember a good deal of complexities. And certainly the design to help boaters was not going to be functional at all. That's what I remember, but I don't know enough details. So, Jim, could you be available to Dan to figure out what happened and if there are any alternatives you guys want to discuss with the board? Is that okay?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board for Jim?
This is Rick. I just have one question about the white cap drainage pipe. I think at the last meeting you said it was degraded on the bottom where all the foundation was worn out, but now the town is saying that's okay. It requires no adjustments and it is safe. I just want to verify that.
Yeah. If Steve was with me at the meeting, and they're totally convinced that it's safe. In that, I mean, if it wasn't safe, definitely they would, you know, look at it and say, hey, let's rip this thing up. But if we go ripping things up and make us pay for it, we're just opening up a possible can of worms. He saw no safety issues, and the fact that it goes out into the water, we can't even put up any kind of signage that says keep off because it's not under our jurisdiction being out on the water. That's it.
Is Cheryl and Steve, if I may?
Yeah.
Jim's absolutely correct. The function of that pier is to bring the storm water out into the water far enough so it doesn't erode the beach. DEP is very against replacement of that or modifying that because it's their new policy is just let whatever happens happen. The town suggested that we just leave it alone. It's safe. It's got rebar in that cap. So they're pretty confident that it's okay. To renovate that would be a expensive and maybe not even possible to be renovated because of Beep's standing now saying that they don't like things like that. They just want beaches to erode because they're really not natural. That's their mindset right now. So I think we should just leave it alone. If we put signage out there, the town wouldn't be in favor of that. And they really thought it would be more expensive to renovate it rather than the town. I thought East Lyme owned it because of the storm drain system, but their thought was that Black Point would be on the cup of doing something like that. So it looks safe. It's got, my concern was that it had rebar, but it's not. Its purpose is not to be a pier. Its purpose is not to have people on it. And having said that, you know, we've got a new pier now for to go out on, but that structure is not for people to walk on. It's a drainage situation.
But it's deemed safe enough that we needn't act on it in any way.
That was their thought. It has rebar. It's got about a foot thick cap concrete, so we should be okay.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments in relationship to association manager and condition of the beach and maintenance?
Okay, Will has a comment.
Okay.
We can't talk to them.
Will has a comment about the back bay, the kayak ramp. He has a sketch of the ramp that they had originally said that they would use or build. And if anybody wants to look at it, he's willing to share it.
Great. Thank you. I forgot that Will was so involved. So, Dan, that's another option for you. And I forgot one of the other things that Dan brought up. And, Dan, this may give you second thought for a year or two. We removed the kayak racks off of that little spit of beach off of Old Black Point because the traffic from the both feet and boats pretty much decimated that beach. There is now almost a new channel there. So we don't have enough space to move the racks, and we're hoping that it might repair itself. That's like protected land. It's, you know, estuary. So I would doubt very much we'd be able to do anything right now because so little of it exists. So throw that in the hopper, you know, explore it. I don't know if it would be a short-term or a long-term or any kind of a project, but just know that right now it's underwater a lot. And when it's not underwater, judging from my experience last year, it's calf deep oily mud. So it may need some time to repair, but Jim and Will and Dan, go at it, see what you come up with. All right, let's move on to the next section, COVID and community safety. There is only one thing that was left from last week, but based on any concerns people have since then, we can discuss other things. So as we left it last week, there Steve had brought up a question in terms of parking management. The issue one from external parking, since we anticipate and have already maybe experienced parking from outside of the membership once the state parks have closed, and internal regular, you know, the association rules for parking. So as it stands now, one needs a tag, not a sticker, to park in any parking areas at Black Point. And that doesn't have anything to do with being on the beach. That's just for parking. Some of the questions that came up were, should we be dealing with Black Pointers who don't have their hanging tag up differently than people that are from out of Black Point entirely? So I will yield the floor to Steve in a second on that. And the other thing was, even though the bylaws say ticketing for parking violations, we have informally been giving a warning for the first time, but we don't have any system so far, until recently Jim produced something, for keeping track and identifying whether someone gets a ticket. Do we know if they've had a warning before? So Steve and Jim can address this, and I don't know which of you would like to go first.
Well, I'll take it, Steve. My thought was that people who are parking in our parking that don't have a Black Point sticker nor a hang tag be held to a higher level of fine than somebody who has a sticker. If you, my thought is, if you have a Black Point sticker but you don't have a hang tag, you'd have the $25 fine. I think it's very difficult for the patrol to see who has infracted the law before. So my proposal would be, and I thought of this earlier when Mary's talked, any fines that we collect from the $25 fee from members who are members of the association should be earmarked for the Cahill Scholarship. In that way, people can write it off. Mary's scholarship would do better. Anybody who doesn't have a sticker or a hang tag, we may want to multiply that fine to a higher level of $50 or $100 because they're obviously not members of the association and they're just using our beat without any authorization to do so. So that's me. Jim, what do you think?
I totally agree with you. A couple of things. I'd like to take into account that when I find a car that doesn't have any kind of identifier, either a tag or any kind of back bumper sticker, and it's not too crowded, it's not crazy crowded, I can go from blanket to blanket and ask them, and I've done it before, and ask them, you know, and find out whose car it is and where what happened to their tag and inform them or let them know that, you know. So I do that approach often, too, but I totally agree with you. We can do whatever the fines are. I do have a system that I developed with my staff. So each of the staff, they will have to use their phones. They will have to use their smartphones. They're going to download the Google Sheets app. It's a free app. I created a parking violations Google spreadsheet. And I'll share it with them exclusively so they'll have access to it in real time. It'll list all the tickets, but it'll also have other tabs for like 2018 and 2019 that'll be in an order by automaker, in alphabetical order by automaker. So they can at least, like, let's say they come across an Audi, they can look in 2018, 2019 and see if they've ever got a ticket for this car. They can quickly match it up. So at least they'll have a historical reference to look at on whether these vehicles have been ticketed in the past couple years. So that's how I'm going to kind of keep track of the parking violations, and all the staff will be aware of it. And it should work in theory. And that's about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of questions, comments before we proceed with making some decisions. One, has in the past 2 years, has anybody received a parking ticket?
Only warnings.
No tickets given. Okay. Our rules do say, our bylaws, that people get $25 tickets. So if we're going to change that, we would have to change a bylaw. So that's a big deal. We've already ran into that once before. The other thing is, I'm concerned that a significant member of our beach patrol, the association manager, might be using time better spent on helping out at the beach, hunting down people so that they don't get a warning or a ticket. I think that the purpose of a ticket is so that we don't have to have people hunting down and asking people to move their cars or prove their black pointers. So I would frown upon that process. I think fair enough that someone gets a warning, but if they don't get a warning, there's nothing to inhibit them to continue doing it. The bigger picture, I think, this year is protecting the membership from having spaces taken by people that don't live at Black Point. So there's kind of two issues. The system you came up with for warnings and tickets is fantastic. I don't even think you have to go to past years, because I think normally, I don't know, you can check with the police how long you have before, you know, once you get a ticket, before it counts for points or whatever. I think seasonally is fine, and again, that can be a board decision, and it doesn't have to be a motion, it can be a consensus. But I am concerned with spending association manager time hunting down who has a car. That's the point of a warning. You just give them a warning, no damage done, but it inhibits them from doing it the next time. If every time they park, the association manager tells them to move, then there's no record and there's no change of behavior.
Well, I just like to do it to inform them and like to interact with the people on the beach. I mean, I'm just walking up and down the beach anyways and talking to people.
I think my primary point is that doesn't change people's behavior. You're courteously asking people, and thank you for your courtesy, to move their car means that there's no reason for them to change their behavior, because you'll come find them and ask them to move their car. Meanwhile, their car is there if you don't find them. It's different. I am delighted that you tool around and make contact with people as a nice human being on the beach. But to spend your time with your mission trying to find whose car so that they don't have a warning, so the next time they do it, they don't get a ticket, which is supposed to be inhibitor of behavior.
Tell them that they're being very disrespectful to me for not listening to me the first time when I told you you've got to have a ticket.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good policy, Jim. We give warnings. We don't hunt down people. If we want to give warnings at all, which is not in the bylaws.
He's trying to be nice.
Shut up with the bylaws. You can just...
He's trying to be nice and courteous to everyone in the association.
I don't know who's speaking, but you don't have the floor. He is nice. That's not the point. The point is parking violations.
Cheryl?
Back to Steve. Do you want to? It sounds like you have two thoughts. One, parking fines going to Cahill Scholarship. And two, discriminating between Black Point cars and other cars. Again, the higher fine would require a change in bylaws. That would take two regular meetings. So it's probably not going to happen before the end of the summer anyway.
Right. Yeah, I'm fine with, people in this beach are not in high school anymore. They don't need their hands held. My thought would be, if you're parking and you have a sticker but not a tag, you automatically get fined $25. I would like to see that money go to a charitable organization, and I think the Cahill Fund is a wonderful thing to support. People can then take that $25 fine and write it in as a donation. They get a tax break on it. We can handle the people without stickers and without tags later, but I think this warning situation, we're not in high school anymore. We park, we take our chances, and if we are breaking the law, we suffer the consequences. I'm sorry, that's how I feel.
You don't have to be sorry. It sounds like two separate motions. Would you like to start with one motion? We can have a discussion. Yeah, and then
I'd like to make a motion if somebody is parking in the designated parking areas of Black Point without a hang tag, they are automatically fined a $25 fine and no warnings anymore.
Is there a second? Is it safe to assume no one wants to second Steve's motion?
I'll second it. Mike.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Okay, let's go around. I'll have everybody weigh in. Steve, I think you've already weighed in, so I'll move to Will.
I think I'm in favor of it.
Just discussion now. We'll vote after. I just want to make sure everybody has a chance to talk about it. Will, is there anything you want to say about it?
He endorses it.
Bill?
Cheryl, Bill here. I agree with Steve totally. What he said, the legal parking spaces. I also have an issue with people parking on illegal parking spaces at right-of-ways, such as Cahill Way, Seaview. Osprey, we're going to put the sign back up, so hopefully I'll stop that. But that includes cars and golf carts being parked there where there is no legal parking for any vehicles. So I'd like that added to Steve's motion if he agrees to it. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, when we get back to it, for Brooke's sake, we'll have you reword it before we vote on it. Rick?
I would like to just offer an amendment that if you are in a legal parking space with a sticker or tag, you're okay. If you don't have a sticker or tag, you get a ticket.
Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll take the first motion and then vote on the amendment, since one
Cheryl,
falls under the other. Yes?
Can I say something?
Who is it?
This is Mike. I'm sorry. I think, you know, with the doing away with the warnings and everything like that, just make it a ticket, but make them appealable. If you think that you're right, then you need to come and appeal why you think you don't deserve the ticket. Otherwise, you get a ticket.
All right. How about just organizationally, we do the big thing first, and then we look at the two amendments. Yours would be an amendment, and Rick's would be an amendment. That sounds
okay.
Right? And Phil.
Good.
Phil Lombardo, do you have anything to say about in discussion?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Phil. Yeah, I wanted to know if you wanted to say anything.
Yeah, I guess I was muted. I'd like to, could you just read the motion again?
Brooke, could you read the motion, please?
These moves that parking without a hang tag automatically results in a $25 fine with no warning, and Mike seconded the motion.
And then we have two amendments, but they're kind of based on this original one, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brooke, I didn't hear what you said. Could you try one more time?
Sure. Steve moves that parking without a hanging tag automatically results in a $25 fine with no warning. Mike seconds the motion. And then in terms of the potential amendments, Rick said that if you have a if you're parked in a legal parking spot with a sticker or tag, you're okay. If not, the $25 fine. And Mike thinks that they should be appealable.
I'm fine with the motion. I'm not sure I understand the difference between what Rick said and what Steve said, to be honest with you.
Brooke, That's what I was wondering as well, Phil. I thought that Steve made a discrimination. You automatically get a ticket if you have neither a tag or a sticker. If you have only a sticker, which does not qualify as a legitimate parking tag, you would just get a warning as opposed to a ticket.
Right, and but that's not what
I'm saying. That's my, not my motion. Cheryl, Steve, if I may?
Yeah, I misunderstood. Could you clarify?
My motion was if you're parking in the designated parking areas of Black Point and you don't have a hang tag, it's an automatic fine of $25.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay, and Rick, how is yours different from Steve's? Both of you say you have to have a hang tag. Is that correct?
Okay, so this is Rick. No, what I said is if you have a sticker or a parking tag and you're parked legally, you're okay.
So, Rick, you're saying...
Illegal parking.
I don't understand the difference.
I believe the difference between mine and Steve. Steve says you need a parking tag. I'm saying if you have a sticker, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have a discussion on that amendment after we do Steve's.
Okay, I just want to understand. I'm okay with Steve, what Steve said.
Okay.
Cheryl, can I just ask one quick question about this?
Yeah. Go for it, Jim.
How do I know who the ticket belongs to, like the owner of the ticket?
I believe as a quasi-municipality, we have access to those records with the police.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure. I'm not positive.
I've never heard that.
I believe so. Call Mark and find out.
Okay.
Cheryl, it's Phil Lombardo. Why do we need to know, Jim?
So we can bill them.
If they had a bumper sticker, we would know who they were. Is that correct?
No,
not necessarily. No.
No.
But the tag has a number. But if they don't have a tag, there's no way to know who they are.
That's correct.
The parking tag, yes. The parking tag has a number.
That's right. Okay.
Right, but the point is, they're not going to have a parking tag. That's why we're going to ticket them. So we need to go by their license or their golf cart registration. And my understanding, which I have not personally verified with the police, but I will verify with Mark Nickerson, is that we have access to the licenses as a quasi-municipality. I don't understand why we would have ever had the bylaw if we didn't, because there's no way to enforce it.
Well, no, but you could write the ticket, though. Is that correct? You would just write the ticket for the license plate.
I would write the ticket, put a copy on the. I'd write the ticket, put the copy on the windshield, hold on to the carbon copy, but then what?
That's right. Well, so let's go ahead with our policy, and I will find out from Mark. Unless you want to wait till June, but we can go ahead with the ticketing policy, and I will find out from Mark if we do have access to license plate numbers and owners.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Phil?
Yep.
All right. So can we have a vote on Steve's motion which, Steve, do you mean in designated areas or just parking parking illegally? Somebody, was it Mike that brought up, what if they're in the white cap, that's not a designated area, don't they qualify for ticketing as well? So did you want to change that wording?
Well, I just said designated areas. Obviously along the streets, East Lyme's rule, but
so
I think our right of way
is illegal. So Whitecap, the right-of-ways would fit into that. I understand now.
Whitecap in any right-of-way, including South Beach.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's see if you are in favor or not. Steve?
In favor?
Will?
No.
In favor.
Sorry,
yes, he's in favor.
No?
Me, I'm sorry, Cheryl. Yes, I'm in favor.
Rick?
Yeah, we have trouble with Bill.
No.
Phil?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, that is 6 ayes and 1 no. So that motion passed. Now, can we, Rick, do you want to bring up your amendment and we can have some discussion on that?
The amendment is if you have a parking sticker, a parking tag or a sticker and park in a legal spot, you're okay. Any car parked illegally or without a sticker or tag is liable for tickets.
Can I ask a question? Is it okay? I'm not sure what turn I take. I go down the list usually. my question is, you are now saying that stickers will be an additional, the 2 stickers will be additional parking permits so that any homeowner will now have the freedom to park 3 cars under that amendment. Am I correct?
We only get one hanging tag, is that correct?
That is correct. The hanging tag that we get one of permits every household to have 1 car parked. The stickers
right.
are a hangover from the olden days when we had security here and they would check to see if you lived here and just never got changed. So the stickers have never been a parking validation, and each household gets 2, so that with stickers now, if we're going to change that policy, that means that every household will have 3 permits to park under this amendment. I just wanted to clarify and make sure I wasn't confused. Any other discussion? I'll go down the list. Steve?
Cheryl, there's no second, there's no vote.
Oh, there's no... you're right. I'm sorry. I'm not used to doing amendments. Is there a second to Rick's amendment? Okay, Mike, could you repeat your amendment?
Yeah, I'm just saying that you get a parking ticket, make it appealable. There's no warnings, no nothing. People have been here long enough to know what the parking regulations are. You have a hang tag and 1 car, 1 parking space, and if there's no spaces, you don't park, you know, and let's get this thing taken care of.
So your amendment would be parking tickets can be appealed with the Board of Governors?
Yes.
Want to add that to Steve's motion that passed?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay, is there a second on that? Parking tickets may be appealed with the Board of Governors.
I would second that, Steve. I think it's reasonable for people to be able to appeal a judgment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I was just looking for a second. Do you have a question?
Second, Steve.
Okay. Who is just speaking?
Cheryl, it was Steve. I think anything should be appealable, and so I think I would be supportive of that.
So you're seconding it?
I am.
Okay. And then I assume that's your discussion. We could just do a straight vote, or if there's any discussion, I was just trying to organize it in terms of the people, a list. So I can just run down, and if you have no discussion, just say no comment. Will?
Board has more important. Okay, Will says that board has more important issues.
Is that a no comment?
No comment.
Bill?
No comment.
Rick?
No comment.
Bill?
No comment.
Okay, let's take a vote on Mike's amendment, which will get added to the motion that was just passed. Steve?
In retrospect, I think that the board does have a lot of other things to deal with and appeals. If somebody's parked.
I can't hear you. Could you say that again?
Yeah, I think the board does have more important things to deal with. If you're parked there and it's obvious you've parked there and you don't have a hang tag, the fine could stand. So I would vote no to appealing it.
Okay. Will?
No.
Bill?
No.
Rick?
No.
Phil?
No.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to abstain. That is 5 no's, 1 yay, 1 abstention. All right. Okay, so everybody is aware of, on the board is aware of Jim's policy now for keeping track of first warnings and follow-up. I will get in touch with Mark about identifying tickets or registrations. Schedule of patrols. I have a question.
Yes. Cheryl, can you just clarify when you ask him about registrations, include out of state registrations if that's available too?
Okay, thanks. Good point. All right. Now, in terms of, again, parking management, Jim, I have a question for you. And I think it's just an organizational question. We have 6 yes. right-of-ways and 1 white cap parking lot. So that's 7 places where cars can park, legally or illegally. We have 5 patrol people and yourself. Is there some kind of a schedule so that we can have some assurances that during the context of the day, the patrol guys and women will have a relatively specific time, not like a time, but, you know, like how many times a day, you know, if they're only looking at each parking area once, that doesn't seem like it's going to cover and protect other people from not having parking spots or people that shouldn't be here being here. So can you, for next month, just work out just a rough, not like at 1 o'clock you will, but, you know, how you're going to assign these and how many times they're going to get checked so we have some order to it and it's not random considering, you know, the numbers of right-of-ways and parking places and the number of patrol guys.
Yes, of course.
Thank you very much. So let me bring that to the next meeting, if you would. All right. The next item on the agenda is pretty open. I just wanted to know if anybody wanted to address any other beach guidelines based on community feedback and all of the whole continuum of emails to Board of Governors. Is there anything else anybody wants to discuss?
Cheryl?
Yeah. Cheryl, Steve?
Yeah, Steve, I just realized we didn't do the Cahill Scholarship thing.
I know. That's where I'm thinking. I would make a motion that any fines of members of the association that are collected by Black Point Beach Club treasurer be earmarked for the Cahill Scholarship.
Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Who was that just seconded it?
Mike.
Mike, thank you, Mike. Any discussion? All right, let's take a vote on the motion that collected fees from parking violations will be donated to the Cahill Fund. Steve.
I would be in favor of that.
Will.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Rick.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Okay, unanimous support. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, everybody. It's a good scholarship, and we're not collecting that money anyway, so it might as well go to a good fund.
Great idea. And I'm sorry I forgot it. I just saw my notes right as I started the other beach guidelines. Okay, is there anything else related to... Yes.
Phil Lombardo?
Yeah.
Well, this is not, it's really the COVID, maybe not the beach, but last session the issue was brought about tennis courts, and we said that we'd talk about it this session, so I'd like to talk about that.
Okay. Hang on to that. I'm going to put it on the agenda, but I just want to cover the other things first. Is there any other beach guidelines that anyone would like to discuss?
Yes, this is Rick. On the May 14th minutes, on page 3, it says passes would be made next week. I just wondered the status of that.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, Brooke ordered them. Brooke, do you have any idea? I got the impression they're going to come in soon. They will get mailed with the annual letter. My intent is to finish the annual letter tomorrow based on what happens tonight, and get it out with the beach passes. Brooke, are they in yet?
They are ready.
So next week they should be, people should have them before the next weekend, not this weekend. Annual letter information needs to be collated and sent out. So it should, you know, we should get it within a week.
Yeah.
Hey, Cheryl, it's Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Brooke, for doing it all.
You're welcome.
Yes. Next.
Cheryl, Will.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo, yes. On the beach. What's the status on the sign?
The sign, Jim, we don't have the proof back. Apparently, they're backed up. But, Jim, do we have any more information? They have the sign sent to them, and we're just going to look at the proof. Do you know when we're going to get it back, Jim?
Yeah, this is Jim. Cheryl, before the meeting earlier this afternoon, I sent you the copy of the proof. It's going to be on a 2x2. Pretty much exactly what you discussed and what you showed me. It's going to be, I checked it. It looks good, but if you can check it, it's going to be 2x2, 2 feet by 2 feet. I've got the stakes, and it should be a quick turnaround, and hopefully have it, you know, installed this weekend. I have 6 signs with those recommendations, new regulations, and then I have 10 blank signs that we can make up on our own. They're the campaign yard signs with the H-style metal stakes.
Jim, I think I'll talk to you later. I think we I had thought that we were going to get a lot more than that made, and the blanks were going to be extra. I need to check the proof, and then they're going to have them done in a day?
That's what they're telling me, yeah.
Wonderful. I'll check the proofs, and I think we're going to need a few more, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
That was, I know Will had a question, but Phil, was that your question just now?
Well, you wanted to stick on beach. I wanted to talk about the tennis courts, but you said to stick with beach for that. So that was my...
But somebody just said, I lost track of whoever asked about the signage, and I wanted to make sure they were answered.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any other beach issues related to community feedback related to COVID?
Okay, Cheryl, Will wanted to know if you want me to read the email that he sent to the board regarding added security issues.
There's nothing on the agenda about added security, so it would be more appropriate for it to be read during public comments.
Okay.
Because we're not discussing security on the agenda. It's already settled. Is that okay, Will? I'm not quite sure how to work this because it's never happened before, but my understanding is that unless you want to bring it up, but it's already been discussed in terms of what you would prefer anyway.
No, he said no.
Okay. All right, so Cindy, maybe read it during public comments, and please send it to the BOG email. Okay, before we address tennis, I just wanted to update people on Executive Order 7T, which is the no rentals for less than 30 days. Number one, that's going to be reviewed for phase two on June 20th. Number two, thanks Sue Murray, she called Mark Nickerson to see if we are responsible for enforcing it as an association, and we are not. So it's a matter of renters and rentees. Okay, the board did get petition. Sorry. The board got a petition with Ed Zito. How many names are on that? I know it was a lot. Oh, Ed is muted. Wait. Come in, can you unmute Ed? Meanwhile, I can pull it out. I counted and then I forgot the number.
Cheryl, this is Ed Zito, 57 Nahantic. There were 71 signatures of Black Point Beach Club Association members on the petition.
Okay, thank you, Ed. All right, so we have a petition to open, hang on, let me pull it out. We, the residents and taxpayers of the Black Point Beach Association community, hereby request the opening of both the clay and hard surface tennis courts for the 2020 season. We are willing to sign a waiver regarding liability on the part of Black Point Beach due to COVID-19. Okay, I'm going to make a few comments, we can have discussion, or we can have a discussion. We're going to have a discussion. So we have a petition from many, many people on the community that obviously we need to address. And my question is, do we address this one amenity, or do we discuss all of the amenities in the fairness of people that want to be on swings, be on the bocce court, do shuffleboard, play basketball? Not yes or no, but I'm just wondering if it's doing a justice to the whole community to carve out time to discuss one and not the others.
So, hey, Cheryl, it's Steve.
Yeah.
I would think that since the tennis group has made such a concerted effort to sign the petition and to make a group action, that we do approve the use of tennis. It's kind of hard. I think it's either pick the scalp to pick the bandage off quickly or slowly. I think we should do it slowly, and tennis is a good entree to opening Black Point Beach Club. And I think these people have taken the effort to do this, and I think we really should consider their petition to open up both the hard courts and the clay courts.
Phil Lombardo,
we have two motions then. One motion would be, before we address the tennis courts, do we want to address the tennis courts standalone, excluding other things? And then the other motion would be, do we want to open the tennis courts? So could we start with the first one, which would be to deal specifically with the tennis courts and not other amenities?
This is Phil Lombardo.
Just make that motion, Steve.
No, well, this is Phil Lombardo.
Yeah.
Rick presented a sign last week that talked about tennis and bocce. In my mind, those are the only two things that make sense in opening right now. I think they're both lend themselves to social distancing, et cetera. So I think we should address everything, and the way we address everything is say open the tennis courts, open the bocce courts, and don't open anything else. That's it.
Cheryl, Steve, my comment would be that I talked with Ed Zito a couple of days ago, and he has stated that there's a petition going around and we have that result, but he is willing to supply cleaning materials for the brooms for the tennis courts. They've really stepped it up. Bocce is fine. I don't mind opening that up as well, but I think the tennis community at Black Point has really address the majority of the issues we would have with opening up tennis, and I think we should give them that courtesy to open tennis up. Whether we open up bocce, that could be a different motion, but I would make a motion that we open up tennis in the hard courts and the clay courts for use this summer.
This is Rick. I second that.
All right. Let's see. I'll go down the list again, see if anybody wants to weigh in. Steve, we got you. Will?
No comment.
No comment.
Jill?
No comment.
Rick?
I believe we received a letter at some point ago with the guidelines for opening up from the U.S. Tennis Association. As long as the community follows those guidelines, I think we're good to go.
Phil?
Yeah, I support it. I certainly do not think that, I think the petition said that they were willing to provide releases, and I don't think that would be necessary.
Mike?
Yeah, I believe that they should be open too, but are we going to have to provide any signage or anything, or is it just going to stay the way it is?
What signage would you have in mind?
I don't know, maybe the same thing going to happen at the beach.
Rick's sign.
I didn't look at Rick's because it was premature. Usually we get this information following a motion, not before discussion's even up. What is the... Is this something that we're going to want people to enforce, or if we put a sign up, it's implying that we're expecting. Do we need
a sign? Cheryl, I would say
that. Cheryl, I would draw my comment.
I think they're going to follow the USTA recommendation for playing tennis in a COVID society, and that's what Ed did tell me, so I think that's a moot point.
Any other discussion? Okay, I'm going to throw my two cents worth in. I have very high regard for Ed and his integrity and tennis in general. I'm just not comfortable making a decision for tennis without weighing in on all the other interests in sports. So let us vote. Steve.
I'm in favor of letting tennis proceed.
Oh, could you say the motion again? Oh, you already said it. Okay, the motion is to allow tennis to hard court immediately.
Following the USTA guidelines.
Okay. Will?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, that's six yays and one nay, and the motion has passed. All right. Is there anything else related to COVID and community safety?
I'd like to make the same motion for bocce.
Cheryl, can I just – Will wants to ask, when will they be open?
This is Jim. They'll be open at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
All of them?
Yes.
That was the motion, both Clay and Hart.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I lost track. Someone was saying something before then?
It's Phil Lombardo. I would like to make the same motion, just replace bocce with... or tennis with bocce.
I second it.
Any discussion?
But they can't follow the USTA guidelines, but the bocce guidelines.
I think GA is golf, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Cheryl.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm blobbing out now. I'm getting a little overwhelmed. But okay. All right. That sounds like... we're all set to vote. Steve?
In favor?
Will?
Yes.
Yes.
Bill?
You're asking for Bill? Yes.
Okay. Bill?
You're gonna put an initial after the Bill and Phil.
Oh, B is in Bill. Okay. Phil?
Yeah, yes.
Mike?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I am going to explain, being an avid bocce player, that
Rick
I'm so...
Rick says yes.
I am so sorry, Rick. I got into the B's and the P's and left you out. I am still going to vote no, because I think it's worth waiting till June 20th to get into the session two for bocce or for anything. So there's my explanation. It passed 6-1. Any other business before we move on to new business? All right.
One other item. This is Rick again. On May 14th, they also a question was made by Mr. Johnson about us providing PPE. And I think it just was left hanging out there. I don't know if we need to address that.
We did address it.
Okay, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Jim was promised masks if he couldn't find them. Dorothy Lustig made them.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think we can get, like, the legitimate medical
stuff.
Draw
my question.
Okay. All right. New business weekend security. I just wanted to make sure, since there was some discussion last year, do we want to continue having weekend evening security? If we do, do we want them during those hours? I'm up for discussion. Otherwise, things stay as last year, 8 to 12, 9 to 1, on Friday and Saturdays. Do we want to change that at all?
I'm sorry. Sarah, could you say that again? What are the times?
We have had the police come from 8 to 12 midnight or okay. 9 to 1. Jim may want to comment on when most of the activity was happening. Do we want to keep the police? Do we want to keep those hours? Do we want to use a cheaper system?
Just go back now.
COVID, we're just talking normal beach evening security.
It's Phil Lombardo again. I'm sorry. Was it a choice, 8 to 12 or 9 to 1?
I think it was kind of up to the people that were employed. Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, this is Jim, if I can weigh in. Last year, our contract was for 8 to 12. We had written it into that, and they pretty much complied with that. But they've also said that they're flexible.
Okay, so 8 to 12 is what we
did. Last year, they were not able to come 25% of the time.
Now, if I could weigh in again on that, I talked about that with them. I talked about that issue with them, and they said because of new ways of they're doing business that things have opened up where they won't in such a way that he really anticipates that there won't be any missed weekends this year because it will become almost like a lot of them want to do it now. A lot of the officers can do it. It is voluntary, but the officers can do it. And they do provide Black Point at a reduced rate. It's not their full.
How much is the reduced rate per hour?
I think it actually brings it down to the 69, to be honest with you. I think whatever their proposal was. But they have made an effort to bring that into consideration.
Bring what into consideration?
Using the reduced rate. They don't do that with any other beach association.
Reduced since when? We paid 69 last year.
Because of union rules, and that's what they told me.
No, here's my question. When did they reduce it? We paid $69 last year.
I guess ever since they've been negotiating the contract with our association. I don't know the exact date he said, but he said he gives us the reduced rate.
That's inconsistent with our records, Jim. We paid $69.
I'll show you the correspondence from him regarding that. But I mean, that's how he explained it.
I just wanted to, since you said reduced, I was wondering if they reduced it since last year. So it's still $69 an hour. Okay. So as it stands, things will stay the same unless we change it. Does anybody want to move to change anything?
Hey, Cheryl, it's Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Just a clarification. Is there an hour of the evening that the beach is actually closed? We've had several instances where youngsters have been out until past midnight. Screaming and yelling and hollering and dropping obscenities. I don't know if our beach is officially closed at a certain time. I know fishing goes to 11.
I'm not aware that it's closed. I am aware that there's a noise ordinance. And the actual beach, unlike most of beaches of the state of Connecticut, does, up until the high tide line, does belong to Black Point Beach Club Association. We pay taxes on it. So between East Lyme noise ordinance and the fact that it's the property of the membership, it is certainly something that would not be hard to enforce. Are you saying that we may want to look at the hours that we have the police here in order to enforce stuff like that?
Yeah, I would think so. There's been two or three evenings in the last 2 weeks where youngsters have been out till at least midnight, yelling, dropping the F-bomb, and just being unruly.
Is this weekend?
Weekend.
Weekdays.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday evenings.
So that should stop as soon as we get our security going, yes?
I would like to think so, but is there a Black Point ruling about beaches being closed at a certain hour?
I'm not aware of any Black Point ruling closing beaches. The only hours I'm aware of are fishing hours.
Thank you.
But again, it would not be inappropriate for behavior like that to have some kind of intervention. And on weekends, once the police start, which should be very shortly, I believe it's Father's Day weekend, we usually start them, then it should no longer be an issue. And if it continues to be an issue on nights that police are not here and it's uncontrollable, we should certainly address it again.
We go with your comment. Thank you.
Cheryl, this is Rick. Could I ask a favor? Could we possibly move the co-directors up? We're the only live people on here that aren't on the board, up in the agenda from last to right as the next topic, instead
we
of having them wait.
Does anybody have any objections?
No.
All right. Co-directors, before we go on to Zoom, could we have your report? Nadia and or Erica. Oh, guess what? Colleen, could you please unmute Erica and Nadia? That would be Erica Garnett and Nadia Banover.
I just have to see if that's the name they're registered under. Yes, Erica and Nadia.
Wonderful.
Hold on, let me get Erica first.
Sorry about that, Erica and Nadia. I forgot that we had gagged you.
Nadia should be good.
All right, you guys, you're recognized one at a time.
Hi, everyone. This is Erica Garnett, one of the co-directors for CLUB.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Nadia Banover, the other co-director for CLUB.
Hi, Nadia. Welcome.
Yes. Sure. So just to kind of catch people up to where we're at currently is Rick and Cheryl have been updating us as the Office of Early Childhood continues to release their updated memos. Right now we're on the revised number 18, so we're drawing a lot of our guidance from that memo and the legal implications from it. To echo some of what's been said already, I believe Mary Cahill brought up this point. One of the biggest points of that memo that is drawing our attention right now is the sizing concern. The group size right now, I believe, is at no more than 10. And kind of like what Mary Cahill did say, our clubhouse size is obviously very small. And even just considerations around when kids are outside and not in the clubhouse, you know, playing group games, playing dodgeball on the playground, you're still in very close quarters even if you're not in the clubhouse. So 6 feet would probably come into play. 6 feet would also be problematic and come into play in other spaces, not just in the clubhouse. One other point I'll make, and then if Nadia wants to make some points, is around masks. Part of that revised memo number 18 also talks about how anyone over the age of 3 is required to wear a mask. And Nadia and myself do have some thoughts and concerns around just little kids first understanding the importance of keeping a mask on, right? For a 3- and a 4-year-old, even a 5- and a 6-year-old, that could be difficult, as well as, you know, dealing with 85 and up degree weather. You know, you can't expect a kid to run around, let alone just breathe even normally while walking in a mask. You know, I'm 26 and I find it to be very uncomfortable when I'm just walking in the grocery store in a temperature controlled room. So me and Nadia also have concerns around overheating with masks on. And I will stop talking to share the floor with Nods.
Yeah, going off of what Erica said, just thinking about swimming lessons after club, it's going to be really difficult to enforce 6 feet in the water. We have to worry about if a child happens to slip and go underwater. If we're 6 feet away, it's going to be hard to get to them on time. Also, another thing Erica and I were concerned about is the drop-off of the club. In the memo 18, it did say that we need to have a medical staff on board, so I'm not really sure what that would be looking like for us, if we would have like
Maddie,
a volunteer or something.
Speak up a little bit.
Sure, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Okay. For a club, you know, for the drop-off, memo 18 was saying that we would have to have a medical staff on board, so we aren't really sure if we would have to be taking the kids' temperatures individually and what the 6 feet spacing for the drop-off would look like as well. So, Erica, I'm not sure if you wanted to add to that, but those are our main concerns.
Yeah, those are definitely our main concerns. And, you know, just overall, of course, you know, me and Nadia love this job and love this work, and we, you know, look forward to this, but our first and foremost concern is safety, beyond socializing, beyond anything else. Safety is obviously our primary concern. So we want to make sure that we're making the most informed decision, and ultimately the decision that, like Mary Kayla was saying, you know, our community is our community revolves around our children. So how are we going to keep them as safe as possible, beyond anything else, is our concern.
Well, thank you very much. So that said, the rules that are established now to protect ourselves and our children, remembering that protecting oneself means protecting ourselves doesn't necessarily protect the community. We have to assume that anybody in any crowd becomes a potential emissary for COVID, so it's not about just worrying about yourself. However, on June 20th, we will be entering stage 2 of reopen. Things may change, things may open up. So point number 1 is whatever we decide tonight can be reassessed. And point number 2 is, I know you guys were thinking of some things that would be viable, not as a daily club program, but as activities that would be manageable and in the context of the recreation program. So I would encourage you to keep thinking about those things. And in June 20th, we can reassess, see what's more realistic. Obviously, I'm not making the decision about club right now. I'm just looking forward to options in a positive way. So thank you for all your work, and thank you for being so trustworthy and intelligent about this. And let's just ask the board to weigh in. But stay on if you
don't
mind. Thank you. Okay. Comments. I'll go down the list again just for organizational sake. Steve.
I'm fine with where they are.
What is that?
I'm sorry, what?
Well, we're waiting until we hear what you're talking about, the rec program?
Yes, my suggestion is to put everything on hold till our June meeting, but there's no I just thought we might want to have a discussion.
No, I think we should wait till the 20th and hear what the governor has to say.
Will?
He has no comment.
Bill? Bill with a B.
I think Bill here at the end. I think we should wait until the governor comes out with something on June 20th and stay there and see what's going to go from there.
Rick?
Yeah, I'm fine
with
Maybe I'll ask Nadia and Erica this. If it's we wait to make a decision, will you even have counselors available?
That I'm not sure. I think Erica and I wanted to give our counselors at least something to kind of go off of, because we have been getting a lot of emails and text messages as far as what club is looking like this year. So I would like to, if we're not going to have club in that event, we would like to give our counselors enough time to look for other options, if that's the case.
Okay. Yeah, for those people listening on the phone, Cheryl, do you think they know? They didn't see a copy of the letter, did they? I just could go through these quickly of what some of the limitations are based
Why
on.
Why don't we have the counselors go through it since they did all the research? We will post the report, but would you like to
Okay, that would be good. That'll be fair. I recommend, I'm not saying waiting. I would say suspend if you want to put a particular date on that. That's fine, but waiting is putting everybody in never-never land.
Either.
Yep.
All right, let's go through the rest of it, and then we will take motions. I know we're doing it backwards.
Cheryl?
Yeah.
Cheryl? Phil Lombardo, do I have a turn? Do I have a turn? Okay. June 20th is like, what, a few days before, a couple weeks before July when we start. It seems like 2 weeks. It seems like it's not enough time to get our act together and get going. There's enough issues here about kids and masks and numbers and what have you. I think we should cancel it or suspend it. I don't know what you mean. I think we should cancel.
Okay.
I don't see it happening.
Mike?
I agree with Phil. I mean, we can push it down, and, you know, the times are getting closer and closer, and, you know, we could wait till who knows. This way, you know, everybody can plan for something different. We don't have to keep on waiting and see what happens.
All right, so we have two things to consider.
Cheryl, could I ask one more question of you on this?
Can I just weigh in too, and then we'll go through the list again, Rick? Can I just take a turn on the list?
Sure.
Oh, you sound so excited about that. Thank you.
I just want to know about...
Wait. Can I just have my turn? Okay, so my turn is, there's really two issues. One, do we want to have camp at all? And two, if we don't want to have organized camp, do we want to ask the co-directors to think about activities late July, early August that might be done safely? They had mentioned a few in the report. Did the whole board got the report? Yes? Okay, anyway, so it could be no nothing, no rec program at all. It could be no club, but Erica and Nadia might explore some things that they had already thought about for late July, August, assuming things are going to open up, as we're all hoping. Anyway, so those are two options. Your turn, Rick.
My only thing is, is the clubhouse, any idea when the clubhouse is going to open?
Nope.
Okay. Without the clubhouse, the co-directors really are in a major bind for any kind of club program. And I do like the idea that if you are going to suspend the program and look for options for maybe some group things in end of July, August, if possible, but there's no guarantee on that.
Correct. The advantage of that is it wouldn't require a whole lot of counselors committing their summer. It could be like an evening activity, et cetera.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm out of turn now. Do we have a motion on this issue at all?
Phil Lombardo.
Yes, Phil.
Yeah. We talk about options, but we've had a lot of time to come up with options, and no one's come up with options yet. So
okay.
I think it's by the time we figure it out, it's going to be too late to make it happen. This thing is supposed to be self-sustaining. I think it'll be very difficult to make it self-sustaining if we have little groups. So I make a motion that we do not have club this year.
Second.
Mike, I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, Steve. I'm sorry. Was there further discussion? Steve.
I guess I've got one thing to say. If I would say for no club pending the June 20th ruling by the governor, if he says everything is shut down past that June 20th, I would agree with Phil and say that our program should shut down. I think if we get the green light on June 20th, it's 2 weeks. That's a lot of time. I think we can revive the program in that two-week period of time to get our kids active and involved. But I would say if we don't get a favorable ruling on the 20th, we should not have a program. But if we do, I'd like to have the wheels all greased so we can get a program and instituted.
My understanding from the co-directors is that if we're going to want counselors, we need to make a commitment one way or the other before June 20th. Is that the message I got from you, Erica and Nadia?
That's correct.
Okay. So for the sake of having counselors, we need to make a decision before June 20th.
Well, I don't think we can do that, so I would say we should suspend the program for this year.
Okay, so you're voting nay?
I'm voting
yes, that we're not going to have it. It's a double negative.
Or that we won't have it, right.
Okay, so a vote for a yes vote means no rec program. Will?
He does not want it.
Bill with a B as in boy.
No, I'm going to say yes vote.
Rick?
Yes, no camp.
Bill with a P.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, so that is a unanimous vote that we will not have a rec program this summer. Erica and Nadia, thank you for everything. Thank you for all your fine work last summer. I am sorry that we cannot have you taking care of our kids' social life this summer. One point I do need to bring up to the Board of Governors is that we will not be getting any income from the rec program this year, obviously, but Erica and Nadia have put in time already on making these plans and hiring counselors, so we will need to consider that when we talk about the budget later on. And Erica and Nadia, did I hear it was 10 hours apiece? Each of you put 10 hours into this?
Correct. It was 10 hours that we were together working.
Yes, okay.
If that makes sense.
So that would be 20 hours of rec, director time. Is there anything else that you guys want to let us know, anticipate, anything?
I guess, thank you. Oh, go ahead, Nadia. If we aren't, oh, sorry, Erica, do you have something to say? No, go ahead. Okay. Just if we're not going to have clubs, maybe we can work out some alternatives that we can have on the beach so the kids have some type of normal this summer, since this whole year has been pretty chaotic for them.
Yeah. If you such folks as, like, can work something up, both financially and safety-wise, then come back to us, send us stuff, and it will be not a summer camp program, but if there's something you think is reasonable to do and affordable to do, keep in touch with us, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so
that
much.
That sounds great. Thank you. This is Erica. Thank you so much, everyone, for your time, and we'll be on top of that.
Thank you, Erica and Nadia.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, ladies, for taking care of our children.
Arthur's not going to be here this year. That's right. The kids are going to miss you guys. Okay. A couple of short things, and then we can get on to the budget. I just wanted to let the community know that the board understands that a video conference call for meetings would be far better in terms of communication. We are exploring Zoom.
from two perspectives. One, making it available to people so that when they go to get on, they get on, because usually it's going to be their first time, or for many people. It happened to me. It happened to another board director. It just happened to Nadia, where you think you've got all your ducks in a row and something doesn't happen. So to solve that problem, and I will post this as it gets closer to happening, Jim Moffitt has offered to do tutorials for anyone that wants their hand held, which my hand was held by Jim, to do a dry run with him to make sure that you have the skill to do it. So you can get a hold of Jim at Jim, what's your email? And I'll post it as well.
It's bpbcmanager@gmail.com.
B as in boy, P as in point, B as in boy, C as in club, manager@gmail.com. Yeah. So, Jim, could you give people your phone number for people who do not have computers? Because you can access Zoom by phone as well. And if they don't have computers,
yep,
they won't get in touch with you.
Yep. My phone number is area code 860-460-7641.
Jim, that is an enormous above and beyond, and we all really appreciate that. The second problem that we need to address is legally we need to post a recording or a transcription during the times of COVID when we have remote meetings. We need to do that on our website. And right now, especially because some of these meetings are very long, it's an inordinately big file. And I can't explain why technologically, but it is unmanageable right now. We are looking into how we can manage within the law and with the web service that we have, what we can do to make that viable. So thank you for bearing with me. Yes.
Hey, Cheryl.
Steve,
yes.
I did talk to Leslie, our webmaster, she has no problem with our posting a link on our website to the recording of the meeting. Her concern was if we had one of the free Zoom setups, we would be restricted, but Jim is actually subscribing to the Zoom program, so we have more flexibility in that. As far as real-time documentation or viewing of the meeting, we can't do that, but once the meeting has been concluded, we can put a file on our website, a link, and anybody who wants to get that information can. We just have to work out, and I'd like to have a meeting maybe next week to do a dry run of the Zoom to see if we can vote and make sure everything's okay before our meeting on the 27th.
Wonderful. That's fantastic news. All right, there are two things. I think if we have a meeting, we should definitely have a dry run meeting, make sure all our ducks in a row, and perhaps we can make that available to the community. Since if we're all meeting together, it has to be an open meeting, otherwise we have to do it piecemeal. But by having it available to the community, other people can practice with us. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I think that's good, and we'll just post it on our website for people to partake. Maybe a week from tonight, I'm just putting it out there. Thursday seemed to be a good night. If we want to do that, Jim can post something on the website for BlackPoint, and people can get the information regarding hooking up with it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you and Jim and a few other people that aren't on the board just to practice it, double check that everything's going to work, and that, yes, we will be able to make it available for 6 months on our website, and then we'll figure out whether it's this Thursday or next Thursday, and that would be a perfect scenario because on June
7th, I believe, Saturday, we must have a some kind of a remote meeting to vote for two board positions. So we'll get the date for sure. I'm not sure if the date for the public meeting will be next Thursday. We'll do our best. It will be posted and sent out via email. Thank you, Steve.
Another thing, Cheryl, Jim had mentioned that during that presentation of the meeting on the 27th, he could locate himself in the clubhouse. Anybody who has difficulty voting, either by computer or smartphone, can walk up to the clubhouse and make a vote.
No, can't do it legally. I'm sorry. Can't do it legally. I know it's crazy. We cannot do anything in body in terms of your municipal meeting. But thank you, Jim, for offering. So we got to get everything straight. Yeah. Okay. The Bel Air seawall has a crack, and it has implications. So Mike Johnson, could you fill us in and see if we need to make any decisions?
Yeah, this is Mike. A couple weeks ago, the guy south of the seawall at the Bel Air right-of-way contacted us and said that his seawall is starting to deteriorate, and it looks like ours maybe needs some work also. And he was wanting to know if we maybe wanted to go in together and have the repairs done. And we replied that, you know, we need a little information and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and stuff like that. So he said he would forward that information to us. So far, we haven't heard anything, so we're still waiting on that. I don't think anybody can predict when it's going to fall down, just like the work with the piers. And maybe we should work this into the inspection of the piers and get some work done.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, my original impression was that it would be possible that the water rushing in through the crack in our wall might affect our neighbor's wall, but right now we don't have any more information from our neighbor, so we can, unless somebody thinks that our wall is in imminent danger, we can just postpone this until we get the information. Does that sound make sense? Will, I heard you saying something in the background. Will, did you want to say something?
Okay, he wrote down, do we have funds now, and how does he plan to access the area?
How does he plan to access the area? I don't think we need to address that right now, because unless we think that our seawall is in danger, and it did not appear that, but I'll ask Will and Mike to weigh in on that. The only reason we were going to address it soon was in case the breach in our wall would affect our neighbor's wall, because the water would go in and behind. But since we haven't heard from our neighbor, I just wanted to acknowledge that Will and Mike looked into this, and unless they feel like we need to move on repairing that wall now, we don't need to address it for the neighborly reasons, because we don't have the information from our neighbor. Will, does that answer your question? So I don't know if we need to spend time addressing that right now.
No, we don't.
Okay. All right, so that's on the record, and thank you, Mike and Will, for dealing with that. Okay, last news, that left on the agenda before we get to comments, would be the budget. So I guess Alan, Jim might start out. We have some more expenses. Do we need to modify the budget? I would hate to raise the mill rate. If we need to modify the budget, can we take it from different areas? And part two, on this year's budget, we need to consider reimbursing the rec directors for the work they have already done contractually. So I'm going to hand it over to Al and then the board.
Thank you. Hey, Jim, I guess why don't you start off and sort of explain the, you know, the Beach Patrol program.
Sure. Thanks, Al. This is Jim Moffitt. So the board asked me last week to see what the economic impact is to add another staff member on the beach, because this year we'll be going from 3 on the weekends to 4 on the weekends. And during the week, we'll be going from 2 on the weekdays to 3 on the weekdays. And we'll be starting earlier. And so what was the economic impact? And we had $6,000 budgeted, I believe. I think after the analysis, we are going to need, to with a small cushion, up to $8,500, I believe.
Okay. That's for next year. And essentially, he got that number, that additional $2,500 from me, which I figured a new person working an average of 20 hours a week at $11 an hour, which is your minimum wage. I'm assuming he's 18.
Yes.
And for 10 weeks. So $2,500 would cover it. That would also be the additional Medicaid expenses that Black Point would have to pay for. So what he's saying is that what we've got in the budget now is $6,000, and we could increase that to $8,500 to cover that extra person. And I guess I approached Cheryl with these numbers, and I had a suggestion, following not to change the mill rate, is maybe we can revisit a couple expense areas. One of them would be the reserve fund for long-term capital improvements. Take $2,500 out of that, and that would leave it $1,100 versus $1,350 that's there. Or the other thing is maybe trim the capital expenditures of the current year by $2,500, and that would make it, instead of $15,000, $1,350. Or if someone has a suggestion that, add another line item, maybe we can, look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Can I have some feedback from the board? Want to go through the list again, or?
Phil Lombardo.
Okay.
I mentioned a meeting or two ago that, we have the reserve fund. It's always, for years, it's been $8,500.
Yep.
And this year we made it $13,500, which is not a bad idea because, we have to save money for the big capital improvements. But in this year, to raise it from $8,500 to $13,500, doesn't seem to make sense to me. And in fact, we're saying this is how much we say it's going to cost $2,500, but there might be other issues. This is a tight budget, so there could be other issues that come up. So I would suggest that we go back to the old $8,500 in the long-term capital improvement line, take that $5,000 out, put $2,500, if that's what we need, into the recreation personnel, and take the other $2,500 and put it maybe in the contingency, just wherever.
How about miscellaneous? I mean,
Right. Yeah, because to assume that all we need is $2,500. given all the things that are happening, all the unknowns, I don't think this is the year to add the $5,000 into the long-term capital improvement. We still will be doing what we committed to on the 8,500, and we'd have a little bit of cushion, and we wouldn't raise the mill rate. So that's what I suggest.
Would you like to make a motion, and then we can finish with discussion rather than discussing and finding out that's the motion everybody wants anyway?
I'd like to make a motion that would reduce the capital reserve fund from $13,500 to $8,500 and add $2,500 to the
beach patrol
and $2,500 to miscellaneous.
Second? Anybody want to second that?
I'll second it, Mike.
Okay, discussion. Steve?
I think we have to cover our budget, but I do want the board to keep in mind that the members took a hard hit this year with the pier. I think that, you know, a year towards capital improvements is probably something we ought to think about, at least a half a mil. I understand everybody's been hit by the pier this year, but we can't be blindsided by another repair for some other structure. We are getting a report from the engineers on the other three piers. I don't know if that $3,700 has been earmarked for that for the upcoming budget if they don't get it done this year. But I think we've got to be aware of the future conditions and problems we may have. I just don't want to hit people again with another large assessment for something we need that a little bit every year is a lot better than a lot in one year. So I I'm for this. I think it's okay. But I think in the future, we got to think about maintaining our beach, which is not an inexpensive endeavor.
That's the committee being led by Mike as soon as the doors open up and they can meet. Will?
He wants to know what the proposed mill rate is.
Excuse me. May I?
Yeah, oh, please.
Yeah, 1.42, and that is down from 1.48 this year. Not considering the special assessment.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill B is in boy.
If I remember correctly from the last meeting, the previous budget we had budgeted $4,700 for the beach patrol, and we already bumped it up to $6,000 this year. So we already bumped it up $13,000. Now we want to bump it up another $25,000. If I remember correctly, the last meeting we were sat there and said that?
Right, right. For the whole year this year for the beach patrol will be coming out to about $6,000. And that's a thousand more than what the budget was, because, you know, they're starting now versus the last week in June.
Yeah, so they started last week in June.
Yeah.
But I thought we had already budgeted $6,000 this year for them. Well, last year was $47,000, so we're already up $13,000 on the beach patrol this year, and now we want to add another $25,000 to add one more body.
But That's not correct. Last year, we spent $6,000. We wanted to go from $6,000 to $8,500, right?
Right.
Uh,
The last call,
I believe, last week on the Thursday night call, I believe Jim said we had budgeted, we spent 47 on beach control last year. And we
that
had
was
budgeted this year for 6.
Yeah, but that was incorrect. It's not true.
Okay, so
I think you have the East Line Police contract confused. I think that was
okay. Okay, so last year, what did we budget for beach patrol? Or what did we spend on beach patrol last year?
Last year, but it's within this year's budget.
Okay.
So that was $6,000 was the budget. The actual expense.
We want to add one more body. I don't even know if we posted that to be filled yet. We haven't got it posted for another body yet. You know, out there. But so if it was 6, then I can see bumping up to 85, yes, to cover the other person.
Did you get your question answered, though?
Yeah, I believe I did. The only question I had really now, Cheryl, is have we posted that opening anywhere for a new beach patrol person?
Jim, how does that work?
I've been interviewing. It's right now it's been easy with word of mouth, and there's kids coming back.
We're adding another personnel in. Don't we have to post that job opening?
Well, I'm only taking black pointers.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Black point.
Can I interrupt you? I'm sorry, Jim. Jim?
Yes.
Jim, sorry to interrupt, but Bill, that question isn't relevant to the budget. It's a legitimate question, but can we get through the budget and then address it?
Okay. I'm sorry, Cheryl. Thank you.
No, that's okay. Sorry, Jim.
Yes, I'm all set.
Bill's all set. Rick?
Yeah. No comment.
Phil, with a PH?
I like the idea.
Okay, Mike?
No comment.
So the motion, would you like to repeat the motion with the numbers? It sounded like taking the $5,000 out of capital expenditures and putting it into miscellaneous?
No.
So the mill rate stays the same?
No.
Okay, we ready for a vote?
Wait, it's not. That's not, sure,
that's not the motion, I don't think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought someone made a motion. Would somebody make that motion?
No, the motion's been made. But what you just said isn't what the motion was.
I'm sorry.
The motion was. The motion was to take $5,000 out of the reserve fund, put $2,500 of it in the beach patrol line and $2,500 in miscellaneous.
Sorry, thank you. And that got a second?
I don't know.
Could we have a second for that?
I think I seconded, Mike.
I thought somebody seconded. Thank you. Okay. Steve, want to weigh
in? I'm good.
Will?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yes.
Bill, with a B.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Bill with a PH?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Wonderful. That passed unanimously, and we will take care of the expenses, and the mill rate has not been raised. Any other discussion about the budget at all? Sounds like we pretty much took care of that.
I'm sorry, Cheryl, this is Jim. Can I just, did the East Line PD Summer Patrol Program, did you approve that? And did you change the hours?
We didn't change it. So unless we change it, it's the same as it was last year.
Okay. Do you want me to change the hours?
Please someone speak up if I'm not. What?
Did you want me to change the hours?
Does anybody want it? Is it 8 to 12 or 9 to 1, or it changes depending on who's?
I never had it 9 to 1. I've only had them at 8 to 12.
Okay. Is there anybody that wants to change that?
Yep.
Great. Okay, lastly, we are going to open up for comments, and this time at the end of comments, the board can respond. I think we addressed the questions from the beginning of the comments, but feel free to weigh in if you're not satisfied. Yes.
Just a point of order. I know in your agenda you didn't have new business there for any additional comments, but isn't it usually the board allows for additional new business to be presented at this time?
Yes, it does not need to be on the agenda. If someone wants to make a motion, and Brooke, is it? If half of the board needs to approve of the motion, it gets added to the agenda. Could you?
Yes.
Okay. So if someone wants to add something to agenda, they can make a motion, but half one more than half of the board okay. needs to agree with it. Were you about
this
to do
is,
that, Rick?
Yes. This is Rick. I would like to make the motion that we allow the board to add some items to the new business, or at least comments to the new business section number 7 of the agenda.
Could you please be specific about what you wanted to add so the board can decide if they want to spend the time this evening?
Yes. One is the Black Point Parade. One is a shout out to community. And the other one is the board organization.
Okay, that's 3 motions. The first one is the Black Point Parade. Okay, let's have people weigh in as to whether you want to add that to tonight's agenda, Steve.
Sure, I'm fine with that.
Will?
Yes.
Bill, would it be yes?
I'm sorry, what, Bill?
Yes. Have you got me or not?
I got you now, thanks, Rick.
Yes.
Obviously. Phil?
Yep.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Second motion, Rick?
The second motion was just a shout out to the Black Point community during COVID.
I'm sorry, could you elaborate? I'm not sure what you mean.
I just, it's just really a thank you to the community for doing well during the COVID. It's just a statement I just want to make. So.
You want to make it personally, or you want to include it in the annual letter representing the entire Board of Governors?
I'd rather just do it today, if possible. It'll only take about a minute.
Why don't you just do it?
Well, because general communication with the community is usually under the auspices of the chair or the board as a whole. So if everybody wants Rick to do a shout-out to thank the community, we can do that. But in general, members of the board do not speak directly to the community at business meetings. Okay, shout-out. Steve, this is a change in procedure.
And that's for the shout-out to the group. It should go through the board.
Hang on for a second. Brooke, could you tell me if this is an appropriate use of the meeting, or how does parliamentary procedure fit on with this? I've never had this come up where an individual board member wants to to communicate with the people at large at a business meeting.
I think if you're doing it the correct way, just get the feedback from the other members. If everybody is in agreement, I think it's fine to go ahead and make a comment.
Great, thank you.
Well, again, I don't know what the statement is, so I would abstain from voting. If I knew what it was, then does Rich have it available so he can say it?
Yes, I have it available.
Can you communicate it to the members of the board without it being shouted out is the point. This is the kind of thing that usually gets worked out beforehand, Rick. So I guess it's up to the board whether they're comfortable with something being made to the community without knowing what the person's going to say. But since we don't have it at our disposal, we can't assess it. So I'll just go, we'll vote. Will?
Will, yes or no?
No comment.
No comment.
Okay. Bill?
No comment.
Phil?
I don't have any trouble. It's not. Hey, he's not speaking for the board. He's speaking for himself.
Well, that's not what the board meet is for. Mike?
I have no comment.
All right. So we have two in favor. That motion is not on the board. And the third thing, Rick?
The third thing is I would like to form a subcommittee to talk about the reorganization of the board for distribution of efforts and getting things done.
I have a comment about that. Not tonight. I think it's a good idea,
but see if we want to put the motion on the table, and then we can discuss it if the motion even gets on the table. So I'm just going to go down the list. Steve, do you want the motion on the table to develop a subcommittee for what, Rick?
To improve the distribution of effort and getting things done by the board. Just a point of clarification on that. On some of the discussions we had tonight, I think it would have been better to have subcommittees do some of the groundwork instead of have it during the meeting. That's what the main purpose of this comment is about.
Okay, thank you. Steve, I'm sorry, I lost track.
I would totally support it, but not right now. I would table it, so I can't second it.
Okay.
But I think it's something we have to look at in the future.
All right. Will?
I can't read this. Yes or no?
There's discussion later.
Be more active and reports should be given every month at board meetings.
That's not what I'm asking. Do you want the motion on the table? We'll have a discussion if it's on the table. For tonight?
Yes.
He does. Yes. Okay. Bill?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, Rick? Oh, you made it.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding a little. Phil?
I'm a big fan of subcommittees. I think we should do it, but I don't want to talk about it tonight. And you know, so I would say no.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay. The motion that will be on the floor tonight, if you would like it about the Black Point Parade, Rick, go ahead and make your motion. We'll second it and have a discussion.
What was the result of the third motion?
It was not passed. It was not supported.
Okay. The Black Point Parade... I would like the board to consider, well, the Black Point festivities for the 4th of July. Obviously, the picnic has been discontinued. However, what about the parade? There's been several parades in the community where people stay in their cars and are allowed to have social distancing. And I make the motion that the people that put the parade together try to come up with a system in which we can still have the parade for the community with following the guidelines of COVID-19 as set by the Black Point Beach community.
Okay.
Steve, I would second it, but I would defer to the governor and what he says, but I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Okay.
It's Phil Lombardo. Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
So Rick just said the festivities, that means the hamburgers and hot dogs and potluck. Is that not going to happen?
That has not been discussed.
I didn't think so. So there's two parts to this. One is I think we should try to do.
Because the motion on the floor is about the parade.
Well, but in it, he said that since the festivities are canceled, which is not correct.
Correct.
So I think more importantly, because the parade can be put together in a very short period of time, the festivities are not so true. So I think we should have a discussion about the festivities. So I don't know what to say then. So let's read the motion again.
Right. Who are you talking to? Me?
Well, whoever. Who, I don't know. Brooke.
You can ask Brooke. Yeah. Right. You can ask Brooke.
Let me put it on.
I'm still grateful that the parade people come up with a system to have the parade for the community while following the COVID-19 guidelines.
Can I, Phil, can I answer your question? This may shorten the process. According to Phase 2, which begins on June 20th, outdoor events of up to 50 people are permitted. That's between June 20th and late July or August, phase two. So that may answer your question.
The question is, my question was, Rick said that the festivities had been canceled, and I was not aware that they were canceled. So that, so I thought the picture was still an open issue. And apparently it is an open issue. Is that correct?
It is an open issue. I was just giving you some information that may help close it and make deliberations a little shorter.
Okay. So I would support the, looking into the parade, but I want to, I also would like, while we're here, we might as well address the festivities too.
Then we have to have another vote on another motion.
Yes.
Okay,
well,
I think we need to address this motion first. This is what's on the floor.
Yep.
Does anybody else want to say anything about the parade? Did it get seconded? I'm losing track. Thank you,
Brooke.
I can hear Brooke rattling papers.
Yeah, Steve said he would second it, but he would defer to what the governor says.
Okay, so we have a second. Does anybody else want to participate in the discussion of the parade? All right, let's call a vote. How many people are in favor of having a parade on the 4th of July? Steve.
I'd say yes to the parade as long as it subscribes to the governor's edict.
Can I throw in discussion and go backwards? We need to consider then, when people are gathering together for the parade, are there going to be less than 50 people? Are there going to be more than 50 people outside of their cars?
No.
I would think
whole
beach, that's fine.
I
would
vote
yes. I would vote yes for the parade, for the July 4th parade.
Okay. Well,
yes or no for me? No.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Oh, Rick moved it, right? Okay,
yep.
Phil?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, that is 4 yeas, 3 nays. That motion passed. Jim, I will put that in your hands to arrange to make sure that everything is being done safely. We cannot have the bicycle parade there. That would be in defiance of the, I shouldn't say that. Jim, if you want bikes in there, you have to somehow ensure that every bike will be 6 feet apart and 6 feet.
Whoa. Oh. Okay. Hey, Cheryl, this is Jim.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of feedback, but what I'd like to ask is, can you mute her? Can you mute that? The picnic is something different because there is some preliminary work that, as far as like renting the tent, renting the grills, those are usually done by now. But if a decision can be made about that, that'd be great.
Okay, Jim, we're back to the parade. If you're going to be in charge of it. Excuse me? Okay, so you need to consider how that is going to be able done adequately with social distancing, especially if you are contemplating including bicycles. You will need to ensure that every bicycle is at least 6 feet away from each other and away from the people on the side of the road. So we'll talk about that before you set things up, okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Cheryl, this is Phil Lombardo.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion that we cancel the 4th of July picnic. It's going to have more than 50 people, and I don't think people are going to want to do potluck anyway, no matter what the rules are. So I think we should not do it this year.
Okay. For the shortness of time, does anyone object to including that on the agenda? Okay, so that motion has been approved to add to the agenda. Will somebody, I'm assuming that was a unanimous okay, that we will add that to the agenda. Will someone second canceling the 4th of July, and then we can have a discussion if so?
We'll cancel.
I'll second it.
Okay, Will seconded it. I'll go around the room if anybody wants to discuss it. Steve?
Nope, I'm fine with canceling it.
Will?
No comment.
Bill?
He doesn't want it.
Okay.
I'm going to vote. Am I up, Cheryl?
You're on Billy with a B.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill with a B votes to cancel.
Rick?
Are we discussing or voting?
No, this is, I'm sorry, I got lost track. This is discussed, Rick.
Okay, no comment.
Okay, Phil?
No comment.
Mike?
No comment.
All right, I'm going to assume it's an unanimous, yes, we are, unanimous vote to yes, cancel the 4th of July, unless I hear from someone in the next 15 seconds allowing for technological glitches. All right. I see people are waiting for public comments.
Please.
Let's get you all on question and answer after public comments. The board can respond to questions. All right, if you'd like to say or ask anything, dial *6 and identify yourself. All right, let's see. Wireless caller 203. 203, area code 203. Hang on for a minute while I... Okay.
You Hi, this is... Oh, sorry. Am I unmuted?
You're on
this
now. Thank
Debbie
you.
Sinning. This is
I'm sorry.
Debbie
say that
Sinning.
Again.
Debbie Sinning, 16 Seaview.
Debbie, for Brooke, would you spell your last name?
S as in sunshine, I, N as in nasty, N as in nasty, I-N-G, like you're doing something wrong.
Thank you. Okay.
No, because like we were going through the budget, the only budget I have in front of me is the one on the website, and it has social events, which I'm assuming are the donuts and coffee from the May meeting, which is not happening. Is the most of it is the July 4th picnic, which obviously, as of the last vote, is not happening, and it's potentially donuts and coffee at the September meeting, which may or may not happen. So I'm wondering if some of that money can be used towards, you know, security and other things also. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Debbie. I will have Al address that at the end. Okay, let me see if I can do this without hanging up on you. I think I just hit that. Okay. Joan Hayes or Mary Cahill?
It's Mary Cahill. Here she is.
Address?
Your address, Mary.
37 Indianola Road.
Thank you.
You know, this is nice. I'm going to keep doing this all the time. As far as the wall at Bel Air, that was put in by the Jones family, as also as a staunch defender of the $8,500 for long-term capital improvements, I approve of Phil. I'm not bucking you, Phil. I think $8,500 should stay. It doesn't have to be raised. I also want to wonder, the summer patrol that Jim Moffitt is talking about, is he talking the police? Having the police for summer patrol? If that is the case, we already have summer patrol. Quite a few years ago, the representatives of the Nine Beaches had petitioned the first selectman. It was Wayne Frazier at that time. And we wanted special summer patrol because Eastline has 18,000 regular residents, and in the summer it goes up to 38,000. And, of course, we all know they're at the beaches. So it is already there. The summer patrol starts in July right through the end of August. We don't have to pay one penny, nor should we pay for the police to check us during the day for stop signs and speeding. We need police at night so our members can feel secure that our beaches are being taken care of. Thank you. I see you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary. Okay.
Hi, Wendy Bourget, 1 Osprey Road. Just regarding my earlier comment about the sign down the South Beach, it was regarding a sign on the asphalt because the signs are not always easily seen based on the kayak racks and everything that's there. So I don't know if that is something that can be in just the general purview of Jim Moffitt to consider. Just it was like a stenciling on the ground that
Sorry
he
for the
had actually.
You want it painted on the asphalt?
Yes. And
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if that needs to go through the board officially or not, but I thought I would bring that up.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Second, regarding, I had also sent an email asking that when you considered the whole parking conversation and ticketing, that you considered what to do about after hour parking. So since Jim and his staff are only on till 6 at the latest, And I do know that this has been an issue in the past with parking in right-of-ways in the parking lot. When I spoke to the chief of police a few years back, he had said it becomes tricky because if it's a right-of-way, then it's not technically the town, because the board would tell me, call the police would say, well, it's really not our property. So is there a member of the board that is willing to take on that responsibility and come down and ticket those cars? Or the police had said that if they had in writing something from the Board of Governors, that it was okay for the police to ticket in the evening on that property, they would be willing to do it. So I asked that the board please somehow address this catch-22 that happens. Lastly, with regard to Steve's question about hours that the beach is closed, it has come up before in the past. The beaches were closed at 9 o'clock. There were signs up. They had become faded, and one of the prior beach managers took them down. And when the new signs were made, it was not put on there, the closing of the beach. So I brought it up at a prior meeting, and it was discussed, and it was my recollection, but I'm sure it is in the minutes, that people agreed that 11 o'clock would be a reasonable time, that 9 o'clock may be too early, but they looked at the time the clubhouse closed, time the tennis courts closed, a variety of things that are closed, and that the beach should be the same to provide, kind of peace for all community members. So I hope that all those things will be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll address those at the end of the comments.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. It looks like it started with, Medtron. Who's calling from Medtron number? You are.
Yeah, this is John Scala, Tenney Shore Drive. It's
John,
hi. I work for. Hi. So regarding the seawall repair, heard your comments earlier, and I did, in fact, send out an email, to you back on May 10th. Actually went into my sent to double check to make sure it did go out with a couple proposals that I received, and the information that you had requested after we met the day earlier, with Mike. So I just sent it out again while this meeting was occurring. So if you don't get it, please, give me a call, but you should have everything you need.
Okay, we'll get back to you after comments. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Dave.
Hey, this is Dave Ogle, 19 Park Court. I'm not sure that the earlier explanation of the state law and town ordinance concerning golf carts was completely clear, so I'd just like to clear that up and make certain that it is fully understood, because there clearly is a lack of awareness by some golf cart owners on what it is, what the circumstances are. There is a Connecticut state law that allows individual municipalities to authorize the use of golf carts by persons holding a valid driver's license, provided the use of the carts must be limited to roads within each municipality with a speed limit of no more than 20 miles per hour. The Eastline Board of Selectmen has taken advantage of this opportunity and has authorized the use of golf carts in specific beach areas of the town, including Black, provided that each golf cart must be registered for a fee of $35 with the Eastline Police Department. And to register a golf cart, the owner must show proof of liability insurance, which coverage would only be for legal drivers, in other words, those holding a valid driver's license. And also, because the speed limit on every access road to Black Point exceeds the 20-mile-per-hour state law limit, it is illegal for anyone to drive a golf cart out the confines of Black Point. I hope that will clarify everything if there is any further misunderstanding.
Thank you, Dave. Roberta?
Hey, Cheryl?
Yep.
Yeah.
one of the things you want to consider when you're talking about the parking is the renters. We have renters in one of our properties full time. So they get the tags for Black Point from me for that cottage, for the house. Other renters are going to use the tags of the owners for the week or 2 weeks or month that they're here in the summer. So, Jim, you're going to have to consider how do you control that in terms of who has what. So, and my point being, at Black Point, 24 Seabreeze Avenue, that's a rental property. I have people in there. They're going to get the tags, but they don't own the house. So the tag and the tag, everything comes with whatever the name is on the property of the house. It's not going to have the owners that are renting it right now. So just something to think about. You know, my kids are going to go down the end of the street and have a tag, and somebody's going to look at the thing that says, okay, tag 123 belongs to Mary Kershaw, and she's been dead for 20 years, you know, but she owned the house. It's in trust.
Well, so I understand now. In terms of ticketing.
You know,
gotcha.
Yeah. So we just have to figure out that piece of it as well. Okay? Good job,
thank
you guys.
Thank
it was
you.
A great meeting.
All right. Oops, let me... I don't see anyone else, so I am going to close the question and answer if no one calls in 10 seconds. And we'll go back to address some of these questions.
It is.
Address them now.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Cheryl?
Sherry White, and I did call in.
Sorry it didn't come up. It must have been delayed.
Hi, it's
I'm going to go back to Q&A to get you because I lost you. Okay, would you dial *6 again so I can get you? There we go. Okay, go for it. Who is it again? Sealed Air Corp. Is that Sherry or Dave?
Can you hear me? It's Sherry.
I can now. Who is it?
Sherry White.
It is Sherry. Thanks. Okay.
Yes, I have a couple things to say. This is my comment. Do not hire any additional beach personnel. Appropriate personnel should be for the club budget. I disagree with canceling club at this time. I think that if you're going to have tennis and bocce and other things, that club can be done appropriately and separate, making it maybe a longer day with your monies would be well better spent by separating the children, maybe having two kinds of a morning and an afternoon, both swimming and club. It could be a morning session, an afternoon session. This would reduce the number of people you have kids coming. But if you don't have club, these children will be at the beach anyways, and they will be together. So I think that maybe the smart thing that Black Point could do would be to look at having the children together in an appropriate way as much as possible. That's my take.
Thank you. You said you had a couple of points. Any more?
I'm all set.
Okay, thanks, Sherry.
Yep.
right. I am going to leave question and answer in 10 seconds. Unless I hear from someone. All right. Oh, shoot, where's that cursor?
Daryl.
All right. I'm sorry. I just heard someone. Was that another Q&A? I'm going back to Q&A. I think I just heard someone ask to say something. I'm going to go back on for a few seconds and see. Okay. Sorry, I'm not sure what that was.
Hello, how can you do this?
Okay, thank you. We have several comments and several questions. Is there anyone on the board that would like to address any of them? Otherwise, I'll go down the list with what I can. Does anybody on the board want to weigh in to respond to anybody's questions?
Cheryl, hold on. I've got to unmute the board, so I can't speak yet.
Thank you. Sorry. Meanwhile, while the board is being unmuted, I can address Wendy Bourget. I will put on the next month's agenda managing after hour parking and what we might do about it. And I will double check with the bylaws or history to see if we can confirm that the beach is closed at 11 o'clock. And is the board unmuted yet for some of them?
I think they're all unmuted plus two.
Thank you. Al, do you want to address Debbie Sinning's question about modifying the budget because we will not be using a lot of the money for social expenses?
Right. She brings up a good point. My thought is it's probably going to be up to the Board of Governors to decide whether they want to just, you know, leave the excess in that line item or shift it to something else, Cheryl.
Okay. So the amount is going to stay because we adopted the budget, and we can take a look at that and see if we want to shift it.
Right.
Okay. We'll just see how that pans out at the end of the year. Thank you, okay. Al. In answer to Jim, do you want to answer Mary's question? She was saying that the Eastline Police automatically do a little extra patrolling at all of the beaches during the summer in the daytime. So she was concerned that we weren't hiring any in the daytime.
Definitely what she said is true. They, I guess, but what ours is a little different. Ours is dedicated. They're in Black Point. They don't leave Black Point unless there's, you know, something major going on.
Yeah, and you're talking about evening, correct, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Mary was not clear whether if we were actually paying extra patrol in the daytime. And what we are paying is evening patrolling, correct?
Yeah, no, I think there is a Council of Beaches has their own little patrol that the the chief of police has recognized it, but this that's different than what we're doing.
Yeah, that's daytime, correct?
Right.
Okay. I think that answers the question. I answered Wendy when you guys were all gagged. Does anybody want to add to a response to Wendy? Okay. I am going to apologize to you, John Scala. I have been vigilant about checking my email, and I was looking for something for you, but it is possible that somehow I missed it. I will check, but I'm glad that you sent it again. I will put you on the agenda for next month, and if I don't have it, if I don't find it tonight, I'll get in touch with you tomorrow. Okay. Roberta's comments about parking was just, Jim, if you're following up on ticketing, and you may wind up having a tag that the sin is committed by a renter, and you may be following up with an owner. You might be able to clarify that with her in person. Obviously, if that happens, you'll have to address it. And I may have lost some of the specifics, so perhaps she can get in touch with you after this meeting.
Okay.
I think that is it. Thank you for clarifying golf carts. And with the annual letter, we will send out golf cart rules sheet. And unless someone has anything else, I would be happy to have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Cheryl, can I just get one?
I would move to adjourn, yeah. But thank you very much for running a wonderful meeting.
Thank you.
Cheryl,
Jim has something he wants to ask about. Yes, Jim.
Just a little clarification on what Wendy had brought up. If it was okay to do a stencil of no parking on the asphalt on that right away.
Oh. If no one objects, I will ask Jim to do so. Please speak up if you object, but I don't think we need a whole lot of discussion. Jim has painted no parking on other rights of ways where appropriate for handicap parking. All right, go for it, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you. You bet.
Yeah, I'd written down Jim and then I left track. Okay, I hear that Steve wants to move to adjourn this meeting.
I do, with thanks to you, Cheryl.
Thanks, Steve. Is there a second? All right.
No.
Does anyone have it? That was Will seconding it.
Yes.
Can I assume that it's a unanimous yes? Unanimous yes. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, the meeting is adjourned. It's 9:20. Thank you, everybody, for your perseverance and all your hard work in between meetings and at excessive meetings, and especially
Cheryl,
to have no idea what she was getting into. Yes.
Cheryl?
Yes. Phil?
Are you there?
I am here. The meeting's adjourned, but I'd be happy to talk to you. Who am I talking to, Phil or Steve? Or Mike?
No, you're talking to Mike. I had been muted.
For how long?
I don't know. I tried to call you since you were talking about Wendy.
Oh, sure. Well, okay. You want to get back to Wendy yourself? I'm sorry. I thought you were unmuted.
It's just something quick. If people go to the Black Point Beach Club website, the golf cart regulations are printed there from 2014.
Yes, they are. And I am going to send them out with a copy of the rules of the annual letter, because probably 1% of Black Pointers look beyond the front page. Yes, I'm making that up. But thank you very much. Yeah. All right. Good night, everybody, and thank you. And thank you, Doris,
thank you.
For making a face mask for the beginning.
Good night, everybody.